idea from Mr. Warden. So has Mr. Warden ever handed you a blank piece of paper when he's been here? Has anybody seen that yet? Good. So I know it'll be fresh on your minds then. And I'll have to tell him that I already did this. You go, what? You used my idea? I go, well, there's nothing new under the sun, is there? So, you know, what I want to do this is because when you saw these kids telling the story, and in the presentation that I gave at camp, I wanted to show them that when there's a miracle that takes place here. If you just are able to go online, that's the nice thing about going online. That's actually the nice thing about these phones, too, that have maps on them. Because I just typed in Waltz in Crawfordsville, and it took me right to the place. Now, it used to be, if you remember, we'd have to stop at the local gas station or somewhere. Can you tell me where Waltz is? You know, now you just type it in, and normally, sometimes these are abnormal, and that's where it causes you big headaches. Normally, they'll take you right to the place, which it did. So if you get the opportunity, even tonight, to type in snowflakes, you know, and you can see, and most of us have been taught and learned that there's no snowflake that's exactly alike. So I wanted to show you an idea of this as we proceed, because of how it's like children. It's like all of us. All of us here are just so different. And God created that, if you remember, when we went back to Genesis, and it says that everything that He made was very good. He wanted all this. He is not a boring God. He, as much as sometimes we want others to be just like us, that's not what God wants. Sometimes it's a struggle, as you learn from either children, all of our children are so different, and sometimes it takes you to have children to really see that between your eyes. It makes it a challenge sometimes when you first are courting, and if you remember going back to that, you're going, oh, wow. You know, look at this potential mate that I have. She's just like me in so many different ways. Or there's that appeal there from the things that you sit down and talk about that you're, you know, well, wow, we agree on this and we agree on this and when we agree on this. And then when you make your vows, what people forget sometimes is it says, in good times and in bad times. So when people get to the bad times and the disagreements, they want to toss things out and just walk away. That's what our society is today for the most part, because people don't want to get through those and work things out. They forget about those things that they agreed on, why they loved each other in the first place. And it comes down to our connection with God as well. You know, basically we said the same thing when we are baptized, in good times and bad times. It doesn't matter. You know, we stay the course no matter if the hard times hit or the good times hit. It's wonderful, by the way, to get a breather sometimes. You look around, you go, wow, you know, things have been pretty smooth for a while. Then a true Christian's mind, you're going to go, uh-oh, when's the next one going to hit me upside the head? You know, because it says, with much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom of heaven. But then you recognize through all of our trials, God makes a way, as He promised, for a way for us to endure that trial. So we see all those promises as well. So once again, there's something unique that we can learn when we see something like a winter camp and we see our younger kids and we see what we're doing with them and how valuable and how precious to God that we are. And not, by the way, to toss our older people away. Because your job is in setting the example that, wow, look at these people. They've been here. They've endured. They are just, they, you know, wow, it can happen. Because so many people do throw it away. And there's a teaching mechanism in there as well. From the examples to sometimes how someone can contribute, whether it's in an article or many different ways, that all of our people can get involved within God's work. So this paper exercise will show how different that people can be, even though you might be following the same path or same instructions, that God is so different in so many different ways. So you can't, you know, look at how your neighbor is doing by just some verbal instruction that's given. You know, God's looking at each and every one of us in our individual lives and how we live this. It's a reality that I think hopefully we'll see more and more. This is how we live our lives. It's not just what we are, what we look like, what we buy. how much money we make, all those things that sometimes we see. What I'd like you to do first, as we continue here, is just take your piece of paper, and what I want to ask you specifically is that you don't look at anybody else. As they do their foldings of their paper, just look at your paper alone, and don't look at anybody else. Just yours alone. Take your paper and fold it in half. First thing you do, don't look at anybody else. Just fold your paper. It's very simple instruction, so you really don't need to look at a neighbor to fold a paper in half. So just fold your paper in half. Now I want you to turn to Isaiah 55, verse 10. As we go through this, and as we do this, we'll learn some lessons along the way. Very interesting. One of my favorites here, Isaiah 55, verse 10, there's actually a song that most of you probably heard at the various feast sites. This is one of the favorites for the music directors, choir directors, is a song called This Is My Word. And it comes from Isaiah 55. So it says, no matter what takes place, my word will accomplish what I intend for it to prosper. It's going to be done. So nobody can mock God. I find it so interesting how people can continually try to bypass God's word. And we're going to be seeing more examples of this. We have seen, I don't know how many more examples that we can see of how this world has gotten so foolish in its thinking. All the way up to people that think that they know a whole lot. You see what we're dealing with now, even within our presidential candidate run. I'm perplexed still. Maybe this will surprise some of you, that many people will still go, well, this one candidate, I'd vote for him. I'll take him out of all the candidates because I like what he says. Now, finally, you get a candidate that just spits it out. That just, and people are I understand. You're tired of the status quo. I can understand that. Because you would have, people remember things such as from a Republican president, no, read my lips, no new taxes. Now, that's not anything new if you go back to previous presidents, and we've had good and bad presidents, more that had an impact than others did, with policies, with things that they said. Then you come to another president who said, it depends on what the meaning of is. Or I didn't do that. Things that I didn't inhale. You remember some of those things. The silly things that were said. And, to other things that come up along the way. I remember when our current president, I know we're to be praying, by the way, as I'm saying this, to be respectful of those in leadership, because God is the one. We can any day address policy decisions or decisions that are made, things of that nature. But I remember when our president was talking about the latest decision, executive order, which wasn't such a great big deal in certain ways, of course, out of what he said. But the problem, I know if I had a chance to talk to our president, I would raise my hand respectfully, say, Mr. President, I want you to understand, here's the problem. Because you said in your previous enactment of a decision that some people would be able to keep their own doctor and that your health insurance cost for each family would go down $2,500. That's not happened. So the problem is people trusting what you say. This is what you say, but they're going, the outcome is they're afraid that people, that the government's trying to take away your Second Amendment rights. That's the problem. And see, we could address that respectfully within the realm of God's law. So, but here's the problems that we're looking at that we all face. And so every day you're going to see things like that. And then we've got to, as Christians, make judgments on how we deal with this, on how we handle this. But I know even in the realm of the Church of God, people are saying, well, I like this one candidate because he just comes out with it. And I'm kind of going, really? I mean, what we taught for our children was something, one of the camp themes was raising the bar. Now, maybe that's a way of raising the bar beyond what we've got currently, but is that really it? Is that what you're praying for? Is that what you've got? That the White House name will probably be changed to this man's name because of his arrogance and the way that he deals with people? Is that what you want? But some will say, well, that's all we've got. I go, there's your state of society. Can we not pray? for something that might be better despite of what we hear. So these are the kinds of things that we hear sometimes. And again, I understand, you know, that people don't want the current situation taking place, but it's not going to get better because of the morality of this society is so decayed. There's no one that will be able to come in unless there's a miraculous intervention by God for someone to come in and change the course of the morality of this nation. I don't see anyone who's going to do that because that current person that people talk about doesn't even know God. Has no idea. Thinks about, sometimes maybe acknowledges, well, at least he's not an atheist, but basically does not know God at all. So what I want us to see is the mentality. I don't want to get caught up in this world's way of thinking. If that's all you've got, I'm kind of going, wow. You know, oh God, please give us this man. Really? That's all we've got. You know, I'd like to teach our children. Herein lies the problem. And God said in the latter days, there's going to be this spirit of lethargy. There's going to be the parable of the virgin. People are falling asleep because now this person is way up here to them. Where's he to God? Where's our standards? Can we not pray for the miracles that God has given most of us in our lives? I'd like to see God's mercy and peace beyond this nation. Though I'd like to see His kingdom come, I still pray for peace for our children and our grandchildren. And if God chooses to have that happen and they've got to deal with this, then so be it. But it's not going to stop me from praying for peace. And a change in this nation and a change in the morality of this nation. For God to spare it as he spared the Israelites and Judah for so long as well. See, in Isaiah 55, verse 10, that's why this says, rain comes down and the snow from heaven. So it's very interesting sometimes as people will say, well, I don't like snow. Well, God does, because He's the one that made it. And for those that just have never tried it, come on up. I'd never do that. Why not? You realize how enjoyable it really is. And so, we actually had my son's future in-laws got stuck on the way up. So they had to go, yeah, I know it's hard sometimes going through that. I tend to really like going through it because I've done it before. And as I mentioned, when I'm going through 7 below in a nice, toasty, warm van with a cup of coffee, listening to some nice music, you know, just stay on the road. Don't hit your brakes. Other things like that. But in my experience of going through many blizzards in my life, it's always been a great experience. Yeah, sometimes we got stuck and we had to dig out. You know what happens when you get really cold? Oh, you're so cold. And you come in. I still remember that as I was a duty boy in elementary school. And we had to go out in the cold. And then when we came in, the mothers would come and they'd heat up hot chocolate for us. So when we got in there, you go, oh, does this feel great? And you're drinking some nice hot coffee. You wouldn't have that experience if you didn't get cold. Ah, hot chocolate. Oh, it's warm in here. You know, I say, if you get the winter experience, who needs coffee? You just walk out and you go, whoa! You feel everything in your body. You know, God designed it. You know, it's a great way to avoid lethargy, isn't it? If you really want to feel your body, now we didn't get the opportunity, but we talked about it at the beginning of camp. I talked about establishing a polar bear club. And that's where if we had some space around the pond and those that had some of the grit to do it, that we would go to the pond and just jump in 20-degree weather like I did when I was a teen in Lake Huron when I was part of the singles club. I just wanted to do something different, but I remember this as I jumped in. It was on a beach, so I had to run into the water and jump in. And you know, I could probably count the number of molecules that I have in my body because I think I felt every one of them. And it's one of those experiences when you jump in that water and your body kind of screams out, I feel it! And then you get up out of the water and it's 20 degrees, you actually kind of feel warmer because the water is so cold. And of course, it only lasts for a minute or so. And then you get in that warm towel and warm blanket and you heat up again. You go, wow, does this feel great? So to have that polar bear experience, if you've not tried it before, probably don't try it at home. So, but it's very interesting when you see the contrasts. Whether it's, there are people, by the way, as I've mentioned before here, that would rather have a Bahamas experience rather than a Colorado experience, but because they don't like the cold weather. And you know, it's more difficult, I think, for people to understand my mentality because I grew up in the north. I understand the difference in the warmth and the cold. I've been up there. I've gone through 40 acres all day, played in the snow. Most of it was playing. You know, a lot of the northerners, when they get older, they'll go down to Florida. They just get tired of shoveling snow. They get tired of driving through it. So, you know, that gets difficult. But then they go down to Florida in the winter and they have to deal with all that traffic. So try that one. I would rather not have that. I'll take the snow when everybody's gone and I'm the only one driving. See the different mentalities? And some people go, well, you're crazy. No, you would say that God is because He made it. It's right here in the Scripture. As the rain comes down and snow from heaven. And by the way, I saw that recently that California, the high places got snow. And without snow, they're in trouble. Because that's where their spring water comes from, as those snow caps melt in the mountains. That's the way that God made it to be. So here we are, we've got a whole camp of kids that, oh, you had a really good time. They come from Texas and Florida with that mentality. I don't know if I want to go up there, but they see everybody else having a great time, throwing snow at each other and on the ice and having a wonderful time. How could they do that? That could be fun. Yes, that's what God made as well. He's a God of variety, of differences, and it's okay. If you don't like it, that's fine. Well, I'll never marry a guy that likes snow. Well, I mean, if that's your limitation, then you're in trouble. Because that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But the point is, as the snow comes from heaven and does not return, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so is my word. It will not return. As we see those proofs of His creation, He says, my word will not return to me void. That's the point that we try to get across to these kids. Do you see that other way of life that everybody else is, that when you're in school and it looks so appealing, the same that it looked to Adam and Eve, that's what you're going through now. We're presenting God's way of life that it's not just words, but it's a way that you can come together and you can play broomball and you can have snowball fights. And even God mentioned wrestled. He gave Jacob a huge hip pointer. So is it okay to wrestle? God did. It's fine. He's a God that likes a variety of different things, a variety of different ways, a variety of different sports things that man has done. That's why kids sometimes, when I say, you know, when Christ returns and the things get established, I'm going to invite everybody over to my bluegrass planet. I tease in a way, because God has a variety of different music and different ways, and that in fact, going back to Louisville this year, we did an a cappella number for the teams. I knew I was taking a chance there, but I thought, I think we've got some pretty smart teams. And so we had a Wednesday practice, which not many people were there. We had our biggest practice was on Friday, a very limited time. And we went from having 7 2 weeks before, thank God for the Facebook, because somebody posted on there, Mr. Evans needs choir members, especially men. So we went from 7 to over 20 with a pretty good balance. We had about 5 tenors and 5 basses, which I was pleasantly surprised to see we had more men involved. So as we got up for our Friday night practice, we were going ahead and practicing, and they picked up the notes pretty well. So I told them all before they got there, I said, we're going to do something a little bit different this year. So as we got done through the basic practice, I said, okay, come on and follow me. Mr. Kylo was filming, so maybe this will be posted next year as we show the lead up to Winter Family Weekend. But I marched them outside of the ballroom, outside of the hotel. We were walking down to the street, and I just heard a bunch of people giggling, where in the world are we going? And into the underground parking lot. And we got in a big circle, and we sang our a cappella song. Because what a better place to hear your voices come back. And so what happened is they really, really enjoyed the experience of singing that song, and they did an absolute wonderful job for Sabbath. In fact, they did so well, I said, if you do this song really well, then I might do another song as well. So at 12 o'clock on Sabbath, I gave them a new song to learn in 15 minutes. And they did that one too. So I said, you know, we present challenges, and it's great to see that they take on these challenges. And when you give them the confidence, you can do it. It's just wonderful to see what they can come up with. So there are so many delights for a staff member in being a part of our camp programs and doing just being a part, frankly, of the church, because there are so many wonderful opportunities to see how God blesses these things. But that's what he says. You do my way, I'm going to bless you. And then we simply just keep counting the blessings, even though sometimes we've got to go through hard times as well. So now I'd like to take your piece of paper after that point. Take that piece of paper, don't look at anybody else's, and tear a half circle out of the top in the middle of the page. Tear a half circle. Take the top of the page and tear a half circle. Keep it folded. Keep it folded, but take a half circle out of the top of the page. Tear a half circle out of the top in the middle of the page. After you got done, don't look at anybody else's now. Now I'd like to turn. You turn to Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 when you've accomplished that task. Matthew 10, verse 29. Sometimes because of the things that we have to endure, the tough times that we go through, I guess I never want, as hard as this was, I don't want to ever forget it because of the impact that it had on me and my life. And I know my in-laws were there and watched me and know what I went through. A very humbling experience for all of us. But I know that probably I can say the worst time, the hardest, most difficult time in my life was probably when my first child was born. We did not expect the labor to go that long at all. We thought, wow, we're following God. And this, why would this be so difficult? So when 72 hours had passed, and I was on my face before God, appealing to him to intervene, and we finally had to take her in, and now I look back and see, and I mentioned that whoever did that footprints in the sand thing did a really good job. Because when I look at that now, that was me. That was me. Me was the footprints that you didn't see. Because now I look back and see how God was carrying me during that time. So, and the biggest impact that had, the hardest trial of my life had the biggest impact on me. Because one thing I determined after that is I will never doubt God again. I may not know why things happen the way that they do, but I will not doubt God. I just refuse to do that because what I see, he says, and that's why I go back to the previous scripture, because he says, my word will not return to me void, but it's going to accomplish what I said for it to prosper. And when he told me, I will always be with you and never forsake you, and you go through that, then I go, I don't know the total reason. Now I kind of know what the reason was, at least part of it. It was to solidify my belief that he would never leave me. He promised he would never do so. Only I could leave God. He said he would never leave me. So you go through some of those, and you find your strength, you know, kindled, sometimes rekindled by some of these things. And frankly, we'll go through things and see things now that we might not understand. Why is this person getting sick and God seemingly not healing him? I may not have the answer to that, but I don't doubt God. Because his purpose is being accomplished in each and every one of us. And you go to a scripture like this and it kind of puts the explanation point on it. Matthew 10 verse 29, it says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And not one of them will fall on the ground without your Father knowing this. Now, is this metaphorical? Or if he numbers the stars in the sky and the sand of the sea, do we not have a God going, well, there goes another one? And after reading this, frankly, and I might have brought this up before, I'm just, with all the birds that are around, I'm just really surprised that we don't see them around on the ground more. So I have a feeling that God put an instinctive nature within them that when they're going to die, that they go off somewhere and they die. So I guess we would see more of them. So this is what it says. This is what the Scripture says. He says, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And as your hairs get few, he's out, you know, you go, well, he should know me by now because I've got so few hairs. But the point is here, he knows every molecule about us because he made us. And he wanted to get so detailed here that we would never forget this. Fear not, therefore, fear not, you are more value than many sparrows. So that would tell me whatever situation that we might get in, and I would be like to be like, as I gave the example in the last sermon, the David who came out against Goliath and said, you've got, and looking at Israel, go, you've got to be kidding me. This guy is just a man. I kind of remember what my dad told me. This had to do more with basketball, but he said, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And so I actually had a lot of fun with the women and the broom ball this year. I was teaching them to get a little bit more aggressive. You know, because we have them playing, we've got the mixed teams, the girls and the guys on each team. And sometimes the gals think that these guys aren't tough on me. You've got to toughen these guys up a little bit. So I go, come on, bump into me. And they bump. I go, no, harder than that. Come on, bump. They go, no, you got to do it harder than that. I go, that's a good one. Now you give it to that guy over there. And the one I saw that she went ahead and did it, kind of knocked in. He kind of looked at her, and she got this big smile on her face. I said, sometimes you can do that. Now, the guys don't reciprocate, by the way. Thankfully, we've got some really good guys that understand you don't give a whooping to the woman. You know, in fact, what happens, and I don't have to say this, I'm so pleased with them. When somebody falls, the play stops and somebody will pick them up. I didn't teach them that. This is how they come to camp. So somebody's teaching our kids some good things. So it leaves them now. If they go home and they start to bump their dad, now I might be in trouble. But I think that they know the difference. And they're able to have a lot of fun. God is the God of variety and difference. He says, I know you. You're of more value, he says, than many sparrows. So verse 32, whoever therefore will confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father who is in heaven. Now, doesn't this have a future tense in a sense? Whether he does this now and says, well, look at this person down here that's standing up for the truth. Job was talked about before the throne, wasn't he? Have you considered my servant Job? What about us? Do you think we've been considered from time to time? Look at what that person, look at what they've done. It went through a pretty tough trial there. And they're doing well. Now, in the future, we've got that presentation before our Father in heaven. What a glorious time that was going to be. I present to you one of the first fruits. That's what we all look forward to. This is what this conveys, this message. It also says, though, whoever will deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. This is a real thing that we're going through. It's not just another church service. It's not just another winter camp. It's not just more numbers that were popping up on the screen for a life, hope, and truth. There are people that are individual people. That's why I'm glad that they showed the individual people that are so different from Becky Bennett, who I went to China with in 1983. And to see her children grown in a part of the truth as well as far as helping out with so many different things. To all the different people that are getting involved with this process of preaching the gospel and of helping one another and building the church areas. See, sometimes it can come to... There are lots of small churches, by the way. London's not the only small church. There are a lot of smaller churches than this. I was talking to Mrs. Freegee, who's up in North Dakota. And they meet in her home on the Sabbath day. And some will travel 2.5 hours to get there. So we should never take for granted what we go through from time to time. And recognize, you know, we've plod the course and trod the course. And God doesn't forgive this. Forget us. Don't forget. Don't ever take that for granted. It becomes so lethargic that we don't really see what's going on. Okay, take our paper now after that scripture. Fold the paper in half again. Take the paper and fold it in half again. Don't look at anybody else. Just fold it in half. And let's turn now to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Another one of my favorite scriptures. I've got to say, I've got a lot of favorites I'm sharing with you. But these are my favorites because not only does this show who we are, but what's required of us. And that's, maybe this has such an impact because there was a time in my life in reading this scripture that it hit me in such a different way. I recognized that not only showed me who I was, but what my requirement was. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, it says, "You are a chosen generation." And many of us here will look back, as I will, finally, as some, by the way, to the 50s. I was just reading a biography today, and I think it was 1962, was my father-in-law ordained? Something was said about 1962, and I said, I was 5 years old. I didn't even know. 1954? 64. I was 7 years old. I didn't know anything about God's truth. They were already involved with God's work and God's church. I knew nothing about that until about 1970. Then the door opened up to my family. And some of us will look back and we'll see all those people that started coming to church. When I came into the church, churches were being multiplied. Detroit had this split between East and West because it just got so big. But I originally came to Detroit when it was one congregation. And all these new things that you're learning and all these new insights that you're given, that I don't want to forget that because I see such a radical difference in a way of life that was lived in, and some that eventually got bitter about it. For most of us, how do you do that? How does that happen? That lesson showed us that it is possible to fall away. Because a lot of us still have a hard time believing it. A lot of us still have, well, what happens to those people? Well, God is the great judge. He knows. So I don't waste my time thinking about that. All I know is it's possible for people to fall away. But all I know is I look around now, and how many out of those still endured? How many still now are being called? Very, very few. So it causes me to wonder, are we in that time now, approaching the time of the end, where God is simply getting selective? He's going, okay, if you really don't want it, then I'm just going to let you go back into the world, and this person wants it here, so I'm going to select them. Where are we within God's Word? Is this just a place to come to? We're back on a normal tread again after going through some turmoil. We're back. We're comfortable. Things are safe now. Are they really? Why do I have to say when I baptize someone, by the way, if anything ever happens to this corporation, you're not being baptized in this corporation. If I felt so safe, I wouldn't be seeing that. You might be asking me, are you seeing some trouble? I'm seeing all kinds of turmoil happening in the future. I don't know what's going to happen. As long as there's character and integrity and humility, great. But am I going to think, well, we're so safe now, nothing's ever going to happen? I wouldn't be, after all that we've gone through, I wouldn't be very smart to think about that. So what's it going to require? Well, I could go ahead and bury my head in the sand and go, everything's going to be fine. Or I could keep my senses heightened, stay close to God, keep reading the Scripture, get stronger, set my bar higher, not lower. So that's where it concerns me. When I see people, well, I like this guy. Well, I understand, but is that where you're setting your bar? That's where a lot of people in the world are setting their bar. But I'd rather have a Josiah that started at 25 years old, that got rid of the high places. That's the guy that I would like. Or a David, you know, at his prime. Or Solomon at his prime. Somebody humble. Somebody with strength. Somebody that believes in God. Somebody that when our next Supreme Court judge, it's not going to be a political thing. This guy believes in God. That's who we want in. That follows the laws of the land as they were set out. Not somebody that changes them. That says now a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman. Do we recognize the impact that that had? That put a knife in the heart of this country. That's how I can't see us recovering, unless God shows us something different. But I also recognize the miracles of God. So God can extend this or shorten it. And I've always wondered, in taking a broad look at it, is it this? Have you ever wondered this? Is God holding back because His church has not made herself ready yet? And if that's the case, it's worthy of a good question. Then what do we have to do to make the church ready? And I can't be saying, well, they need to get their act together. I've got to be looking in the mirror going, how can this guy get his act together? Because the stronger that each individual becomes, that's how the church makes herself ready. You and I are the church. Because I'm the church. You are the church. The church is the people. So let's be careful on how we say this. And so the statement, don't believe it because I said it, has always been a part of my philosophy and should be a part of all ours as we study God's Word. Here in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And if that would just stop, that's where I read up to before. Look at me. I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, showing, when you go to the other scriptures in Revelation 5, verse 10, and other areas, you can see that God has selected us to be a part of His kingdom in the future. That we're going to be, as it says in Revelation 5, and verse 10, we're going to be kings and priests. We're going to have roles that we all play in the future. None of us really knows what we're going to do. I don't know if I'm going to be a priest or a king. I'm not sure, but God knows. Either way, there are going to be leadership positions that all of us will fill in helping those that come over into the millennium and those that are born during that time. But here it says, now the requirements. That's who you are, but here's the requirement, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And when I read that, it was like singing a song. And to this day, we'll look at our hymns and sing out of our hymn books, and we don't even think about what we're singing sometimes. Because I would ask you the question on many different things, is it cherubim or cherub or cherubim? How do you sing that? Did you ever figure that out? Did you ever go, I want to figure out how to really sing this? What's it mean when we go through different things? There was one that we sang today. I wonder how many really understand what we're singing there. Because sometimes there are words that go together that I wonder, what are we really singing about here? That begs the question, if we don't even know what we're singing, why are we singing in the first place? Well, because it's an order of service. If it's just an order of service to you, then that's not enough. So you even see in the small minor details as we come to church, we've got to be reflective. Yeah, but I'm tired. Yeah, we are tired. Tell God that when you're singing praises to Him. God, I'm kind of tired right now, so I might not give it all I've got. He's not looking for those kind of people. He's looking for those that set the bar much higher. The praises. And all those praises or virtues are ones that we have to reflect. The long-suffering, the patience, the love, the kindness. All those that you can't hide. People are going to see those in you, especially when the tougher times come. Verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. In fact, our young ones can still be taught that. The second generation Christians can still be taught that, because the second generation were not necessarily converted from the start. They had to make their decision and still do. Our young kids still have to make their decision on whether they're going to be baptized or not. But what if they grew up in the church? You grew up not eating pork. There are certain differences that didn't have to be overcome, but there were major differences that did, because it was still a way of thinking. It was still whether you wanted to accept that way of life. It was not because your mom and dad did it. And some did it because mom and dad did. Some did it because mom did. Some did it because dad did. And maybe later on they had to learn, that's not the reason that I should be baptized. It's because it's got to be a personal relationship. Not just because they did it. That's what we taught our kids. Do not do this because we did it. We all made that personal decision ourselves. But, you know, we weren't really a people of God, per se, until that time frame came. We were still sanctified, set apart for that calling. God still says, I'm laying out this for you if you want it. But there was still the opportunity to reject it. So that's why he said in verse 11, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Have you ever seen the opportunity nowadays? Wow. As I'm going through the Walmart, I'm seeing all these new inventions, all kinds of new things, all kinds of things that they have on the infomercials. And they all give this really nice portrayal. I found out that the new women's hair care product is I can't remember what it's called. Some it's causing their hair to fall out. Others will say, well, we'll take this, as I've mentioned before. This will do wonders for you in the medical field, but yet it could cause nausea and vomiting, could cause death. I'm looking, as I'm reading that, why would I take that? Well, because they said that it would be good for this. Yeah, but obviously it's not good for something else. Can we not put two and two together here? No, because they make it look good. Everybody looks just fine, don't they? And yet I see when I go, anywhere I go, any hospital, you clinics, they're filled with patients and people. What are we doing wrong? Does that cause us to stop for a minute and say, what are we doing wrong? Well, just a little bit here, just a little bit there. And all these little bits are adding up and even causing God's people to get sick. It says, don't be partakers of their sins. Well, some will go all the way to this degree and says, you know, I don't want to eat that Ezekiel. Well, find something else that's good for you. I constantly read on the cans of soup, monosodium glutamate and whatever else that you can't understand sometimes. Go, I'm tired of putting that into my system. So I'll make some. Find things. Sometimes it's a bit of a struggle. Find things. Work harder. Don't resign yourself. Well, it's everything. It's everything's bad. You know, God watches what you do and the work that you put into, even physically. And he doesn't want you to get to the point where you're just non-caring about the things that you take into your body, physically and especially spiritually. So we've got a job to do for the rest of our lives, to constantly change and to grow. Fleshly lusts, all those things out there that cause people, wow, look at what Star Wars has done. It's the biggest grosser, I guess, now. Not that there's anything wrong with watching Star Wars. But it's just like as soon as that comes out, people line up for miles to pay all kinds of money to grab onto this. What's on people's minds? I can't believe that they've got TV shows that show families, just the life of a family, with their sexual exploits. I go, people watch this stuff? Yeah. Well, it's years ago. Don't you remember the soap operas? General Hospital, As the World Turns. And we've had that, and we've had As the Church Turns. We could have that. You know, all these things, you know, that people spend their time watching. Go, what a waste of one's time. When you really think about it, I remember there was a time when, if you read the autobiography, I think Mr. Armstrong, don't remember if it was a vision or what, he said, will we have time? Can we watch movies? And the response was, you're not going to have time to watch movies. And you can see sometimes with how busy that the work gets and the heart that goes into it. We've got to really actually work hard to find time to enjoy and to relax sometimes. And that's a hard balance to come to as well. Verse 12, it says, having your conversation, your conduct honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they will behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. I still see that happening at places that we go to. That winter camp wanted to have us back the Galt House wants to have us back. It's not just because of the money, but because if we were like other groups that tore their places up, it wouldn't matter what the money was. You know, I wonder how many groups they see coming in and nobody cusses. I wonder how many people they see coming in and, wow, these people are getting drunk. They're not riotous. They actually clean up after themselves. They're very nice people to speak with. Who is it that mentioned? Somebody told me recently, we really like having you people around. I heard that statement. So this is good. This is a good reflection upon the Church of God. It shows that there's been progress that's been done. How many remember from years ago, if you ever went to Wisconsin Dells or other areas, welcome, Church of God, beef bacon. Have you ever seen that? How many have seen that? There's quite a few, I know. Remember that. Well, what did that say? Do you think that ever caused someone, what's the deal with the pork? I bet some people have looked into that, and some people have that are not in our church. And they've actually don't eat pork anymore because they believe it's just bad for you. That's correct. I found it very interesting how God does things so differently, though, that here's this pearl of great price and how he made this. He puts it in an unclean oyster. So you can take the pearl, but you got to throw the oyster back. How come? So it can make more pearls. And then he takes, and this is a good analogy too, I don't think we've ever used this, but I thought about this in line with our camp experience. He takes an irritant and makes a pearl out of it. He takes an irritant and he's making pearls out of us, isn't he? Some of the analogies that he uses are so incredible. And how he does that, one of our presentations at camp is how this oyster will do the coatings and how this process that takes place and every pearl is different. They're all just so different. So mine was a little bit different, as this presentation is showing that, yeah, our pearl is seeking that kingdom. We found it to be that pearl of great price. But then there's that other element, if you remember, and I hope that you do so, if you come upon our young kids, you can maybe talk to them about their experience. What was that camp theme again? The pearl of great price. Was that it? Because just like this one here, kings and priests, that should reflect the virtues, the pearl of great price, find it, keep it. The Bible talks about holding and enduring, not letting go. This will be the challenge of our young ones, that as they see these things that we talk about, now it becomes, are you going to hold on to it? Or are you going to go after all these things that you see, all these niceties and the nice cars and all these things that are available out in our society? Okay, hold your place there, but our next thing that we do here is on your piece of paper, tear off the left lower corner. Tear off the left, don't look at anybody else now, just tear off the left lower corner of your paper. And let's go to Revelation 21, verse 19. I like to reflect on this too. Here we talk about the now, so here's the future. Revelation 21, verse 19. As I said, for all the way back to Genesis, it doesn't go into every single detail. As you read the entirety of the Bible and you see more that comes out at you, you recognize that God is the one that made everything, including all of these precious stones that are mentioned. I had mentioned to the campers at camp, because they no doubt had seen this, one of the frustrations that my wife has had when she was making jewelry is she would use the real stones. But her competition was the cheap stuff. Because when you can get it, it can look nice, but it doesn't last, as most of you have found out if you've ever gotten cheap jewelry. It falls apart. The coating on it, the metal coating, it will look really nice when it starts, but it loses it, it peels off. The nice, good stuff lasts. It's beautiful stuff. So I guess that's what my thought when I was married. I found a really pretty really pretty diamond. It wasn't the half carat. You know, the half carats look really nice on the finger, don't they? I had a really small one, but it was brilliant. It was one of the more expensive, smaller diamonds. And I looked at that because that's the kind of marriage that I wanted. And the ring is supposed to be reflective of a marriage. So I actually, my thought went in the first ring that she had. She had her choice later of changing it using the same diamond. But I had two smaller diamonds on each side. And I said, in my view, I said, that was my parents and that's her parents. Because to get to this point in our marriage, that's what you're marrying into is the family. And what you learn from them and grow from them, that's going to make your marriage as well from the good examples that you say. So, it's, you know, God's reflection on that is so much different. That there's a lot of cheap stuff out there that looks good today, isn't it? We've all had that experience. It might look good. It might even taste good. But I guess you can make anything taste good. I found that down in Baton Rouge. You can make crawfish taste good if you put enough sauce on it. It doesn't mean it's good for you. So we do that with everything. With jewelry, he says, we're going to see this in the future. Because he talks about verse 19 of Revelation 21, how the foundations were garnished with precious stones. I can't even envision this, but it's real stuff. This won't be the Walmart cheesy stuff. Walmart won't exist in the kingdom. Won't be there. I envision that there are going to be people with quality. Whatever talent that you might have, I believe that God's going to allow you to do that and to use your talent. There's going to be engineers and all kinds of people that are going to be in a physical world designing beautiful and wonderful things. That's what we're going to teach. And that's what we're going to see. And it's going to be, you'll see this on the walls of Jerusalem. The foundations, it talks about the first foundation, jasper. The second foundation, sapphire. What's that going to look like? And all these different stones that God made and said it was good. But the one that gets me is in verse 21. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. I keep saying, these have got to be huge oysters. Or does he really need an oyster to make a pearl? Probably not. But it does say each gate was one pearl. I mean, the colors. What I'm thinking of, because I like opals, and the reason I like opals is each opal is different and reflects light in a different way. It's gorgeous. So are all of the stones that God has made. But these pearls, they've got these different reflections and different colors in them as well. Can you imagine this one gate being one pearl and light shining on it? What's this going to look like? It's going to be gorgeous. God is the God that knows how to design in His beauty. But this is a gate of one pearl. The street was pure gold as it was were transparent glass. We were awed by the auditorium having the gold leaf ceilings in it. Nothing to be, though it was beautiful, nothing to be compared to this. I saw no temple, for the temple was God Almighty, and the Lamb are the temple of it. The city had no need of the sun. Not saying there wasn't a sun, just didn't have the need of it. Or the moon, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So this is what we have to look forward to, being a part of this. Quality. Quality. Okay, next thing we do is... Now, I had you fold the paper in half, right? And you tore the left-hand... You tore up the left-hand corner? Okay, the next one is fold the paper in half again. And let's go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. You know, there's a lot of good memory scriptures, but a lot of encouraging scriptures that show who we are, who our purpose is. That's why after I saw this video today and saw these individuals that were introduced, because we see all these things being done, but what goes behind the scenes? And I know these people work so hard and have so many responsibilities sometimes and need our prayers for God's strength and hand, as they do for anything. As I pray just for for something I thought was small, but for the kids it's not. You know, for that blizzard to come in gave it really an extra boost of joy. Not that it wouldn't be there without it, but what a great time that they had. You know, does God not hear the prayers of His people when He calls out to them? I know He does. So we would, you know, isn't He too busy for something like that? No, not when He's dealing with a special people. There's so many times where God has intervened for us. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, and this is where this comes into play with each of us. And I hope that each of us, even as small as we are, will try to take time during the year, even as spread out as we are, to try to get together with each other and fellowship with each other, not to just wait sometimes for Sabbath services. Again, I know it's long, but if at all possible, to get a bit more fellowship in together with each other. We're all special, different. Yes, we are different, but all special and unique in God's sight. Malachi verse chapter 3, verse 16, those that feared the Lord spoke often to each other, and the Lord heard it and listened. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for those that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name, not just on the Sabbath. It says, and they will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. And because of that, you'll return and you'll discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that doesn't. We're getting that practice now, but it shows, it talks about us judging, even the angels. We're going to have that wonderful discernment. And when I see these kids up here, I saw each one of them as they presented their part of that poem as being those snowflakes. You know, as being so, each one of them so different from different backgrounds. I know some of their moms and dads, and you might too. And seeing that all that they've gone through, and to see the children come up now and to see those differences. You know, I was once one of those campers in 1972. I didn't know which direction I was going to go. And in God's mercy, He allowed me to continue to be a part of what He's doing. Last thing that you are doing here is to tear, this might be a little difficult with your piece of paper, tear a V-shape into the top center of the paper. Before you tore a U-shape, now tear a V-shape into the top of your paper. So we recognize our future, that what God says, that's what He's going to do. He says He will spare you. And when I go back to that, some of us may get concerned about the future, about what it holds. And you can tell your children this, your grandchildren maybe as well, that, you know, when you look at the testimonies within the Bible, when Israel and Judah both backslid and they fell away, and then finally God allowed Israel to be taken into captivity, you know, a lot of those people were killed. As you know, most of them were killed. God always allowed a remnant to come out. And so many people, that's why I look forward to the U.S. and B.C. coming out. How many people understand that we're descendants of Israel? That's foreign to them, to so many people today. Some people know it, but not many do. So I recognize when this country is blessed, it's not because of anything that we've done. It's because of the promises that were given to Abraham. So you can see all those miracles. It puts everything in perspective. But then He takes the nation of Judah, finally gets taken into captivity. And there was always a remnant that was spared out of it. Not just a remnant that were spared, but in many cases, remnants that actually got into positions of prominence. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were given positions of prominence as they were taken because the king was smart enough to go, these are smart people. I'm going to use them, but God allowed them to be tested too. Daniel became the third ruler in the kingdom. The third ruler in the kingdom. Very interesting, isn't it? So I don't know what God's got planned in that sense, but I do know that it says, I will spare him. And if that means God allows me to be killed, then I can look at Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego that says, you know, whatever you choose to do, it doesn't matter because this is what I'm doing. So if God allows me to be killed, then that would be a good thing. Because if God allows you to be killed, that's the best decision I could have. It's the best thing for me. So, and I know He's going to be, He'll allow me not to suffer beyond what I can comprehend or understand or feel. So that's putting the ultimate total trust in God, where I said, going back to my first real huge trial, I thought in my mind, I'm never going to doubt God. And if I get my Goliath in front of me, I want to have the attitude, really? Is this all you got? And it wouldn't be interesting to look at the Philistines. David didn't do this. He found other ways to do it, because he goes, you defy the living God, by the way. I wonder if he could look at the Philistines and go, is this all you got? This guy may be big, but my dad taught me that the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Goliath, you're going to fall hard today, and I'm taking your head off. Could you imagine that kind of confidence? Why can't you and I have that? Especially after understanding what God's Spirit does. We can. Sometimes we forget how good God looks at us. So why we look at the kingdom as that pearl of great price, how do you think God looks on us? You and I are God's pearls, aren't we? We are all different. We are all His precious stones, as the Bible says. We can never forget that. Okay, now I want you to open up your piece of paper and hold it up. Hold it up for everyone to see. Now, you followed the same directions. You all follow the same directions. Are there any that are the same here? I don't see any that are the same yet. Maybe you can figure out after services if any one of those is the same, yet you followed the same directions. Isn't that interesting? Wow. Mr. Cox, you really did a number on that piece of paper. X marks the spot for him. Very interesting. So you just made something yourself, you know. And whenever it snows, we saw Quincy's and we saw, you know, eight inches of snow out there. Within every one of those pieces that comes down, every one small individual, they're all different and they're all beautiful. Take a look on the internet. You know something? That's how God looks on you and I. Every one of us is so different. I told you before, that's why I like going to airports. I watch people. Look at all these different people. I don't see any of them the same. Sometimes it took me a bit for my sister-in-laws, but now they're easy to spot. At first, I couldn't tell them apart. But they're all different. Everyone has got different features, different personalities. God loves it. He wants us to change the bad stuff, but to keep the good. All varieties of music, all different cuisines, all differences, were His snowflakes, were His precious pearls. So are you the real thing or a cheap imitation? Let's remember that as we go forward. You know, God has called us to be the real thing. We've got a lot to look forward to. Just don't forget how precious that you are before God.